The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Soa
and Eugenia Sumedusechi.
In the headlines, DCE accuses older assemblies of undermining sovereignty of newly created districts. Upper West Regional Minister personally leads task force to arrest three Burkinabe Galamsey operatives at Nadoli. Government announces plans to rehabilitate original Flagstaff House into museum. And U.S. warns citizens not to travel to Egypt and orders non-essential diplomats to leave the country. First, Eugenia Sumedusechi with the summary.
The district chief executive of Kung Katamanso, Alhaji Antie Tete, has identified border issues as a bane of newly created districts. He also accused what he referred to as older assemblies of preventing them from collecting funds in boundary areas. The Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Inso, has led a task force at Nadoli District to arrest three Burkinabe Galamsey operatives. The suspects were alleged to have in their possession dangerous chemicals. Rehabilitation work on the original Flagstaff House will begin soon. It was the official residence and office of Ghana's first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Interacting with some pupils and teachers of the Flagstaff House Junior High School, President Mahama indicated that plans are underway to transform it into a museum.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
And you can hear Radio Ghana News at Salaga on 88.9 FM or Serkojo Chrome on Unique 95.1, at Enchi on Radio AS 94.9 FM, Ketekrachi on 95.5 FM, among others. The news in detail. Border issues have been identified as the main challenge hindering the effectiveness of newly created districts from raising funds to run the activities of the assemblies. Speaking to Radio Ghana in commemoration of the first anniversary of the newly created district, the DCE for Kung Katamansu, Alhaji Antie Tete, said older assemblies prevent the new ones from collecting funds in boundary areas. Alhaji Antie Tete spoke to Agatha Samoa.
We are faced with raising funds, especially when we have border disputes with our sister assemblies. Generating funds from the various boundaries sometimes is very, very threatening. You send your revenue collectors to the areas and they are molested. So you have to cool down the tension at the places before you send them.
Can you spell out some of the vision that you have for the district?
The vision is first of all education. Try to raise the standard of the education in the assembly. Bring in security because we have land guards in the area because of land problem with some people. And also the disabled persons within the assembly is very high. And you know, it's a typical fishing and farming area. We are trying to make sure that when it gets to the fishing period, we may supply the fishermen with the necessary input like nets or premixed fuel. The problem we have now is some agro establishments are taking over some farmlands. But you don't blame them.
Who do you blame them?
No, you don't blame them because the land was there fallow. These people have been farming on it. It has not been, you know, given a recognition. Now, TDC, which is the bona fide owner of the land, decides who to give it to. So if, for instance, you have been working there for 20 years and you didn't regularize your operations on it, and I come here today and I regularize it, I take over. And these are the problems we are facing. Because gradually, as if indirectly, our people are made worse off because they will be losing their job.
The DC for Kung Katamansu, Alhaji Antie Tete.
Cabinet has approved the merger of Ghana Water Company Limited and the Ghana Urban Water Company Limited. Workers of the Ghana Water Company Limited a couple of weeks ago gave government a two-week ultimatum to merge the operations of the two companies or they would lay down their tools. They argued that the existence of the two companies amounts to a duplication of functions and a drain on the company's resources. At a media briefing in Accra, the Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Ayaraga, said the merger will see the head office hold assets of the two entities, while the original offices will be departments that will enter into performance contracts to ensure that there is efficiency.
Cabinet approved the proposals that Ghana Water Company Limited and the Ghana Urban Water Limited should be merged into a single national utility, with the head office playing the role as an asset holding company, which will enter into internally delegated performance contracts with the original departments. So Ghana Water Company Limited and Ghana Urban Water Limited will merge into one entity, and the head office would hold the assets of the two entities merged into one, and then the regional offices will be departments which will enter into performance contracts to ensure that there's efficiency, they meet their targets, and they provide satisfactory services to the regions that they vigorously manage.
Mr. Ayaraga also announced that Cabinet has approved a proposal that international businesses or economic transactions similar to loan agreements as defined by Article 1 of the Constitution must receive parliamentary approval before they can be entered into by the executive. This, Mr. Ayaraga said, will give clarity to the Ministry of Finance and other agencies on the type of transactions to be taken to Parliament, as well as boost the confidence of businesses that deal with government.
Under our Constitution, Parliament is required to, by modification, determine which transactions are supposed to go to Parliament for approval. The executive has also been working on the issues, because the executive is very concerned about the need for the finance minister and other agencies to have clarity regarding what sort of transactions should go to Parliament for approval, and also to ensure that businesses dealing with Ghana have a certain level of confidence when they are dealing with government. They should know what categories of transactions definitely need to go to Parliament for approval. The first main thing that Cabinet is proposing is that these international business or economic transactions should be transactions similar to a loan.
Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Ayaraga.
The Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Evianso, has confirmed the arrest of three Burkinabes in the Nadoli district for allegedly engaging in illegal mining. The suspects are alleged to have used dangerous chemicals in their trade. The minister, who led the security task force to the site on a surprise visit, said the suspects are currently in police custody at Nadoli Police. Dr. Anso spoke to Agatha Samwa.
Three of them were arrested this afternoon.
And where are they being held after the arrest?
They are being held currently at the Nadoli police station.
But then let's talk about your visit. Was it as a result of President Mohamed's directive to discourage galamsey activities?
Well, exactly so. It was our effort to try and flush out all these galamseys, so-called illegal mining, in line with President's directive to ensure that we only entertain small-scale miners who are legally registered. And we realize it doesn't appear there's any single one that is registered in the Upper West region here. Yet there are people digging gold all around. In fact, we even met right in the house where people are digging gold and the processing plant for processing the thing, which will be dismantled completely.
So these Burkinabes, what is going to happen to them?
Well, I expect my security men to advise what to do, but they will take them through the normal process for infractions on the laws of this country. And we really suspect that the chemicals they use are so dangerous that if we do not take care, before we know, many of our rivers and boreholes will be polluted. So that is why we are very serious about ensuring that they do not have any access to this digging of gold or illegal mining that is happening in our region.
But is small-scale mining of Galamsey a big problem in the region as we have in other parts of the country?
Yes, to some extent I say yes, because until I really started visiting the Galamsey site, I hitherto had thought that it was not really a serious problem. But when we started visiting this Galamsey site, and particularly today, I was really overwhelmed about the extent of the activities of these Galamseyers. We have three major districts where their works are very rampant and very destructive, and that is Kirapa, Nadolu, where we went today. And then where their activities are really devastating.
That was the Upper West Regional Minister, Dr. Ephraim Nsoh, speaking to Agatha Samwa.
In a related development, a security expert, Commodore Albert Kakra Addison, says Ghana's border security has become crucial due to the oil find and influx of foreign nationals seeking at a graduation of a junior staff college at the Ghana Armed Forces in Accra. Mr. Addison said foreigners who engage in illegal small-scale mining pose a threat to the peace and security of the country. He asked the security agencies to put their act together and protect the nation and its resources. Here's a report by Rab Napaha.
Addressing the 40 graduates, Commodore Addison said officers who reached the top of the profession worked extremely hard and were fully committed to the profession. He said a good staff officer is one who pays attention to details and takes interest in providing the utmost security and peace.
Security is no longer considered as a process of the military and the police only. Today, defense and security matters are assessed and managed in multidimensional terms. There are also emerging threats to peace and security of our time. While on one hand, the state conflicts have become fewer, on the other hand, intra-state conflicts have increased. It is in the midst of all such new challenges that those in the defense and security sectors must improve cooperation.
No, 35 males and 5 females drawn from the Ghana Army, Navy and Air Force graduated from the Junior Staff Course, which is the first of the series. The overall best student was Captain Ernest Obese Jr.
Iravna Paha reporting.
A retired Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Stephen Alan Brobe, says every judge who swears the judicial oath will uphold and sustain the rule of law irrespective of threat or intimidation. He said society must accept the reality that there's always a winner and a loser in every case that goes to court, and realize that judges are appointed to serve society by ensuring justice. Mr. Justice Brobe was delivering a lecture on the role of lawyers and judges in sustaining the rule of law to mark the 31st anniversary of Martyrs Day. Rebecca Ipe reports.
31 years ago, three judges, Justice Fred Pokusakwa, the MSS, Justice Cecilia Kwanseng Adu, and Justice Kojo Ajay Ejepong, lost their lives during the discharge of their duties. Christened Matters of the Rule of Law, the Ghana Bar Association brought together the bench, the bar, and the law faculty to a lecture on the role of lawyers and judges in sustaining the rule of law in memory of those who died in the quest of upholding the rule of law in Ghana. A retired Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Stephen Brobe, said the rule of law is the core of Ghana's democratic dispensation. However, judges and the courts have challenges in sustaining the rule of law. Justice Brobe mentions systematic operations as a challenge, citing inconsistencies in the sitting hours of judges as a setback. Justice Brobe also cautioned against the language used in court. He said it is a cause for concern for colleagues to criticize each other on the bench.
Rebecca is still reporting.
Poor sanitation continues to be a major problem in the Accra metropolis. Checks through some streets of Accra showed pockets of refuse dotted all over the street, posing serious health risk in the metropolis. Linda Goji went round the city to ascertain the situation and what the Metro Health Directorate is doing to reverse the trend.
With barely a week of virtually no rainfall in Accra, pockets of refuse are dotted all over the metropolis. A drive-through places such as Kanda, Nima, Sekou, Kanishi, Adabaka and Makola market area saw packaged refuse at almost every 100 meters. Most residents seem not to know the source of these refuse, which continue to pose health risks. A resident at Kanishi tells Radio Ghana the cause of these pocket refuse.
Kanishi, how much free bear 4 to 5, you know?
At Kanishi, people wake up as early as 4:30 a.m. to dump refuse, especially at the footbridge. This is not good for the health of the residents. I wish government finds ways to identify these people and prosecute them to
deter.
An environmental health technician at the Metro Public Health Department of the AMA Wisdom Adichie explains to Radio Ghana what his outfit is doing to reverse the trend.
AMA has a system in place that is registering every house to be signed on to a polluter pay system. That is what we are doing now. We have 10 submetros, and all the submetros have their various accredited solid waste management contractors. So people sign on to them and they assess the refuse from their end and they send to the final disposal site. What is happening is people have not signed on and they give their waste to informal people who are not recognized. Such people throw their refuse elsewhere when they see that nobody is seeing them. That also becomes a problem for AMA. People who have not signed on, if they are brought to our notice, we ask them to sign on. If they refuse, then we prosecute them.
It is the hope of the AMA that residents will commit themselves to the polluter pay system to get rid of filth in the metropolis.
Linda Goji reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and now the major stories. BCE accuses older assemblies of undermining sovereignty of newly created districts. Upper West Regional Minister personally leads task force to arrest 3 Burkinabe Galamsey operators at Nadoli. Government announces plans to rehabilitate original Flagstaff House into museum. And U.S. citizens warned not to travel to Egypt and ordered non-essential diplomats to leave the country.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
President John Mahama says government has plans to rehabilitate the original Flagstaff House, which served as the official residence and office of Ghana's first president, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. When put in shape, it will serve as a museum for the present and future generations, and for functional purposes as well. President Mahama made this known when selected pupils and teachers of the Flagstaff House Junior High School called on him at Flagstaff House in Accra. Here's a report by Pascaline Adadevo.
We saw the blue flag. That means anytime the flag is up, it means that the president is here. And when the flag is down, it means the president is not around.
I feel very happy because I've never met the president before. This is a great opportunity for me to meet the president.
Very amazing. Yeah. And remember, I saw a lot of things and hear a lot of things.
These were the expressions from pupils of the Flagstaff House Junior High School after they toured the Flagstaff House and later a courtesy call on President John Mahama. They are the privileged few to visit the Flagstaff House since the seat of government was moved from the castle Osu. Headmistress of the school, Juliana Kwashiga, had not too long after President Mahama resumed operations at the Flagstaff House, sent a welcome letter and urged him to feel at home.
Just to welcome you to our community and also to ask you to adopt our school to be a baby and then raise our status to defeat your presidency.
President John Mahama walked the pupils briefly through the history of the Flagstaff House. He announced that soon opportunity will be occasionally granted to school children across the country to visit the historic presidential palace, the Flagstaff House, to acquaint themselves with the rich history of the place.
The Flagstaff House is a popular residence, and the residents where we receive visitors. We intend to restore it so that they can both serve as an area where people can come and take a look at where our pictures and live, but they can also serve some functional purposes in respect of hosting maybe visiting heads of state and other such dignitaries.
As a good neighbor, President Mahama gives the pupils the best news ever.
And so I accept that we will work together and see how we can also do our little bit to make your school you know, the kind of model that, you know, we intended to be. And to say that I will reciprocate by visiting the school one of these days. I'll inform you in advance before I come. And I come and see how the school is and what some of the challenges you are facing at.
The pupils were each presented with school bags, a Better Ghana laptop, brochure containing information about the president and the vice president, a notepad and a postcard featuring President Mahama and British Prime Minister David Cameron. As one good turn deserves another, the pupils also gave the president a frame with the inscription, Flagstaff House Junior High School welcomes you.
Pascalina Dadevo reporting.
The Langkwantanai Madina Municipal Director of Education, Elizabeth Uthuru Mensah, has asked stakeholders in private education to contribute in deepening the educational system. This, she noted, will build and secure the future of the country. She said, as future leaders, students need a lot of hard work and discipline in their training for a better future. Madam Uthuru Mensah said this at the 60th graduation of Faith Community Baptist Complex School in Accra. A report by Anita Weskin and Gloria Fusua.
The 5th graduation of the Faith Baptist Complex School was used to reflect on public-private partnership, the way forward for the development of education in Ghana. The Langkwantanam Madina Municipal Director of Education, Mrs. Elizabeth Uthuru Mensah, said the final product of quality education, which is the Ghanaian child, should come out functionally literate and ready to contribute to the development of the nation. She noted that such a citizen will promote peace anywhere because they are equipped. She pointed out that most of education delivery is no longer adequate to achieve international standards.
Quality education delivery has become the catchword in many circles regarding education. Traditional modes of education provision is no longer adequate to achieve international standards. Quality requires energy and hard work. Therefore, stakeholders should resolve to deepen the education system and put in place measures to build the future of our country. Every stakeholder should know and understand their roles and responsibilities. This is because the pupils and students you are handling now are the future we will meet tomorrow on our way down the lane of life.
Mrs. Elizabeth Uthuru appealed to the youth to strive to understand policies and programs that the government has formulated with regards to education so as to implement them effectively. She pledged support for the endeavors of proprietors and proprietresses of schools in the municipality. The overall best student was Esther Bauer.
A report by Anita Weskin and Gloria Fosua.
The Deputy Minister of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Jifa Gomashi, has called on Ghanaians to support the kente industry by purchasing accessories and clothes made out of kente. This, she said, will help shore up the country's economy. Speaking at a launch of Kente Festival in Accra, Mrs. Gomashi said placing value on kente is a way of upholding the heritage of the country. Nana Momari was there for Radio Ghana.
Kente, a corruption of kente meaning basket, is one of the oldest creativity of our forefathers, which has lighted a perpetual flame that will glow to unite Ghana for development and prosperity. A week-long celebration organized by Kente Sew to Sew Africa, a non-governmental organization responsible for convening the Kente Festival, seeks to get the youth involved in the use of Kente cloth and remind Ghanaians about the essence, power and diversity behind Kente creation. The Deputy Minister of Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Jifa Gomashi, said promotion of Kente should not be left to politicians alone, but Ghanaians should take pride in their culture by purchasing and wearing it.
As a people, I realize that we have an unfettered appreciation for other people's cultures and not ours. If you dress from head to toe and suppose to copy of someone else, you're not contributing to the industry in Ghana. You can have a trip that is part of you, but we don't do that often. But we need to take a moment to pause and see how in our own small way we are contributing to making our country what we want it to be.
A high life musician and advocate of the use of kente, Asabia Kropa, urged the youth to go back for the wisdom in the kente masterpiece so that they can pass it on to the next generation. She takes us through the kente weaving process.
The kente cloth is created first by weaving various stripes. Now, these stripes are later stitched together with yet another thread of unfailing love, comradeship and forbearance to form one big adorable cloth we call the kente cloth.
Nana Alma Omari's report.
The U.S. ambassador to Ghana, Jean Kreves, says President Barack Obama's visit to Senegal, Tanzania and South Africa underscores the value America places on fostering stronger ties with Africa. The ambassador observes that over his nine-month stay here in Ghana, Ghana has shown an extraordinary potential for development and recommends the need for transparency to keep citizens informed of government's progress and development objectives. Mr. Kreves was speaking at a reception he hosted with his wife, Mrs. Annette Kreves, to mark America's 237th Independence Day celebration at the embassy in Accra. Rebecca Ekpe reports.
July 4 marks the 237th birthday of the United States of America. Each Independence Day brings an occasion for its people to reflect on the vitality of America's society and accomplishments with others. The U.S. Ambassador to Ghana, Jean Kreves, described the partnership between both countries as mutual.
Yes, it is true that we pursue our own interests, as all nations do. But changing lives and saving lives is really the core of what we do in Ghana.
The U.S. Ambassador said President Barack Obama's Partnership for Growth initiative has made partnership central to America's development strategy in Ghana.
As I travel around the country and see the depth and breadth of what we do here, I'm extremely proud of how we define our partnership. When a child learns to read or a family stays healthy by sleeping under treated bed nets thanks to USAID programs in education and health, our partnership is at work. When Peace Corps volunteers work side by side with villagers to build latrines or to educate young people on how to avoid being infected with STDs or HIV, when soldiers and defense officials from across ECOWAS gather in Accra, as they have this week, to practice perfecting their peacekeeping skills, when police and prosecutors gather to learn the latest practical techniques in law enforcement at our joint regional training center, our partnership is at work.
Mr. Kreves wants both countries to report results on activities so that governments, citizens, and broader civil society can know that the U.S. and Ghana partnership is well thought out. And
Rebecca Ekpe reporting.
The U.S. has warned Americans not to travel to Egypt and ordered non-emergency diplomatic staff to leave as clashes continued in that country. The State Department also urged U.S. nationals in Egypt to remain alert. The warning came as three people, including a U.S. citizen, died in clashes between supporters and opponents of President Mohamed Morsi. Tensions have been rising ahead of a mass rally planned by the opposition tomorrow to call on Mr. Morsi to step down. Tomorrow is the first anniversary of the president's inauguration, but opponents say President Morsi has accomplished nothing and things are only going from bad to worse.
Meanwhile, U.S. President Barack Obama is set to meet South African President Jacob Zuma as the country continues to hold prayers and vigils for ailing former leader Nelson Mandela. President Obama's Air Force One landed in Pretoria as part of his Free the Nation tour of Africa. The U.S. President has described Mr. Mandela as a hero for the world. But prior to his arrival, he said he did not expect to see the former leader, who is critically ill, in hospital. Mr. Mandela, 94 years, was admitted on June 8 with a recurring lung infection. His ex-wife, Winnie Mandela, said she felt it would not be right for President Obama to visit him while he is in a critical condition.
Football. Host nation of the FIFA and the 20 Youth Championship, Turkey, beat the Australian counterparts by 2-0 to qualify to the next stage of the competition. The Group C match, which was expected to produce the winner for the 1/16th stage, pushed the host nation into a jubilant mood after Yokoslu's 85th-minute goal sealed the victory. Australia's young Socceroos came in strong after recess with determination and broke the deadlock in the 52nd minute through a Jimmy McLean shot, which piled pressure on the Turks.
Akan Kalanu called the lead in the 54th minute, which made the game more competitive. Yokoslo made it 2 for the host nation to qualify for the first time in the history of the competition. In the other Group C match, Colombia beat El Salvador 3-0 to qualify. In today's matches, Uzbekistan plays Uruguay, while Croatia clash with New Zealand.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The Paul Katamansu District Chief Executive Alhaji Antie Tete has said border issues is a major factor that impedes effective functioning of newly created districts. Speaking to Radio Ghana in commemoration of the first anniversary of the newly created districts, Alhaji Antie Tete also accused older assemblies of preventing the new ones from collecting funds in boundary areas. 3 Burkinabes have been arrested at in Adoli district in the Upper West region for allegedly engaging in illegal mining. The regional minister, Dr. Ephraim Avianso, confirmed the arrest after he led a security task force to the site. President Mahama says government has plans to rehabilitate the original Flagstaff House, which served as the official armed official residence and office of Ghana's first president, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. President Mahama made this known when he selected pupils and teachers of Flagstaff House Junior High School, called on him at the Flagstaff House in Accra. And the U.S. has warned citizens not to travel to Egypt and others non-essential diplomats to leave the country. The warning came as 3 people, including a U.S. citizen, died in clashes between supporters and opponents of President Mohamed Morsi. The news was presented by Eugenia Sumedusechi
and Mercy Sowa in Accra.